I'd like to think about a paradise somewhere beyond the blue. A mansion waiting in the eastern sky, maybe next door to you.
The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, November 5th, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
The planets Jupiter and Neptune and Mars won't even be halfway. To glory land. Move and hold into his nail-scarred hand. Don't know when I'm leaving, but I'm ready to go. When I get to heaven, I'll be welcome, I know.
Become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Let us pray. Father, Almighty and Eternal God, whose glory we find revealed in the person of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is in his name that we come to worship and honor you this day. Claiming the sacrifice of your Son, we stand before you as redeemed people, justified and sanctified in his name. Be with us here this morning as we offer our prayers and praise in supplication. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love.
speak. So much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we
Our scripture reading today is Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I like to call this the bees. The thing about the Beatitudes, and I hope most of us as Christians are familiar with them, is they start out with a wonderful word, which is blessed, blessed. They start out with a promise, blessed are. And we know that when we hear that though what follows may not be so good on the surface, it's going to lead us to something good. And that's what I like best about the Beatitudes. But they are the beginning of the famous sermon of Christ, of the Sermon on the Mount. And we need to kind of get this sitting in mind as we look at these Beatitudes this morning. Jesus looks around him and he sees the crowd. We don't know till later. It kind of sounds like maybe just the disciples as we begin. But he saw the crowd and he goes up onto a mountain. And we remember, if we were those first century Palestinians, those first century Hebrew people, we would have remembered another great prophet going up onto a mountain to meet with God and there to give back something later, a covenant, a promise. Jesus goes into a mountain and he begins to teach them. And it's unique to us to see how he begins this teaching with his first beatitude, with his first, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, church, this doesn't talk about financial status. This isn't talking about that it's just poor, as in poverty. For this poorness of spirit doesn't know color, race, religion, or economic status. It doesn't know any of those things, but it is the person who realizes that they need a Redeemer, a Savior. It is that person who would stand in the temple and say, "Woe unto me, for I am a sinner." It is that person who comes to that realization that I can't move forward in this list of things, this faith, this journey, until I've settled the account of that I need a Savior. When we're going through the Board of Ordained Ministry, and since Jeff's here, I'll throw this in. I was going to anyway. Is they ask us questions. We have to respond to them. One of them is, what is meant by the phrase, "Jesus Christ is Lord"? You got to settle that, church. Not just for the clergy, but for us. It is my acknowledgement that I am in need of a Savior, a Redeemer. that I am in need of the Comforter, that I am in need of the presence of Christ in my life, that I don't always get it right, and that I do make mistakes, and that I'm going to have to put God on His throne, Christ in my heart, and be led by the Spirit. You see, He has to be the head, the center. He has to be the first. He has to be Lord and Redeemer. He can't just be our fire insurance policy, can He? He has to be Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they. Then it comes the promise. And that's one of the things that, until we get down to those last one or two, that are kind of comforting, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is the promise of a belief in Jesus? Eternal life in heaven. They sang about this going on to be with the Lord. But it's also a present reality, church. Jesus says, I will be with you always, not sometime later. But He says, I am with you. It's a present reality. Then we come to the next one, and it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This isn't talking about death and the loss of loved ones and all of those things, though we could read that here and know that Christ does that, God does that. But it is that person who, in that relationship of Christ as Lord, has learned to look around and notice the plight of humanity around them. It is that person, as they're in this relationship with Christ, that remembers that every single person, hear me, church, every single person is created by God and loved by God. Every single person, from the murderer on death row to the saint who's never missed a Sunday, is created and loved by God equally. And it is that person who sees that plight of that other person who's out of that relationship with Christ and has compassion for that person and enters into that time of associating with that person, not with their crime, not with the sin, but in the separation. To mourn that. We have lost that in our churches today, it seems. We have forgotten that evangelism is how the church grows. And evangelism stems out of our looking around and seeing that Christ is the answer. And we as Methodists, you've heard me say this before, have the greatest message, and that is the message of grace. The grace theology, that Christ is available to all and that His grace is sufficient for every sin to restore every heart and life back before God. The world needs this message today more than I think at any other time in history. Folks, hate doesn't overcome hate. To borrow Martin Luther King Jr., only love can do that. But in order to love, we have to be willing to mourn. To mourn where they are. For they shall be comforted. God hears our prayers. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meekness is teachableness, millableness. It is that person who isn't quick to judge, but quicker to understand. It is that person who is meek before God, but who is gentle in their dealings with each other. Sometimes we aren't so gentle in the church, are we? Sometimes we can be very rigid. Now, I'm not saying we should rubber stamp what isn't right as right. We'll get to that later in the rest of the B's. But in grace and in love. How many of you got it all right? I am so glad. We're going to have communion in a minute. And I don't know about you, but as part of that, I'm going to say that while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. That proves God's love toward us. I'm glad that's the way it works. How about you? How many of you would have to wait until you got it right to get in? Meekness realizes that it's grace, not works. But that love of God should begin to do things in our hearts and lives and move us to do things. It's that meekness that bears with people, that slows down, it's gentle. It has the picture of the nurse or the mother caring for their child. As that child is growing, it's making mistakes, it's dependent. It's the meekness of heart and life and word and deed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Righteousness for the right thing, for justice, not vengeance. That the oppressed would be set free. That the captive would be given an opportunity for redemptions. It is the person who stands up for the injustices that befall people who are mentally challenged in our society today, who are often marginalized and put aside, though we make the claim of trying to mainstream them. It is the person who intercedes on behalf of the other. It's kind of like, if you will, how many of you have siblings in your life? Anybody have siblings? Did you ever pick on them? Oh, come on. Now, you're at church. You could say that if you want to, but he's looking and listening. But so you picked on them, right? It's the normal thing, right? It's funny. Vicky and Maggie were growing up, and Vicky was older, and she was about 5, and Maggie was about 3, and they were all the time fussing, you know, going back and forth. And I don't know. It's been my experience that girls are all maybe worse than boys when it comes to that with each other. But I don't know that I raised these girls. So, and I told Vicky, I said, you know, she's growing up. You're teaching her. And she's going to get even. Right now you can bully her, but she's going to catch up. I hadn't got those words out of my mouth. They started back into something. I turned around, and the next thing I know, Vicky is crying. Daddy! And I look around, and she's got a diamond print right here, and blood's dripping. And Maggie's standing there, you know, the little cast iron things with the legs that you put on a table to put a hot pot on them? She had hit her in the head with that. You know, I told her, I said, what do you think now? You know, it's all right for us to pick on siblings. I had 2 sisters, but you didn't pick on my sisters. It's the advocate. It's the one to stand up for, to take the part of, to do the right thing. Even if it isn't popular, we'll get to that a little further. To intercede on the behalf of the other. You know, it works really well when somebody's tearing your neighbor down in a gossip session to intercede. And not get in it. To kind of rebut the negativity with something positive. To break that, to change that, and to stop that. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. God will give you the strength to stand in the gap. Blessed are the merciful. How about this one? How many of you enjoy God's mercy? Raise your hand. Some of you aren't enjoying it. I'm worried, concerned. Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is another word for grace, but we're called to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved, to know God's mercy in our life. And the prophet would say to do mercy is to be merciful and to share mercy and to go the extra mile. And I put another word in there with mercy, and that's patient. Isn't God patient with you and I? Man, I'm glad. You know, 5 heart attacks, he could have took me out at any time. I'm glad he was patient and said, well, not yet. Still wondering. Mercy. But what is mercy? Jesus says, if we do not forgive our neighbor, then we have not been forgiven. Mercy. Pure in heart. This is the hard one. You need to circle this one. It's kind of interesting that this one is in the middle, sort of. It's number 6 if you're keeping count, by the way. This is the hard one, the pure in heart. When I was growing up back east, we had, how many of you have enjoyed a thing called molasses? Have you ever heard the term black strap molasses? Now back east, if you're in the South and you're in the deep South, it's molasses. But it's black strap molasses. It's made very difficultly through sugar cane, crushing the sugar cane, filtering the sugar cane. But what you want on your butter and your biscuit is the pure black strap molasses. When you pour that stuff out of the jar, yeah, you don't dip, by the way, you pour. You take the mason lid off and you pour that black strap, it comes out in nice little waves. And it glistens like gold and shimmers. Are you getting hungry right now? You want some black strap? But you got to have the pure stuff. Because if it isn't pure, it doesn't wave. If it isn't pure, it clumps out. If it isn't pure, it's got strings with it. But when you get the pure black strap molasses, it's dark, almost black. When you stop pouring it on your biscuit and you don't really want to, you take your finger. If mama ain't looking, you can lick it with your lip where it runs down the jar. But if mom's looking, you got to use your finger. And when you get it on your finger and you lick it off, it doesn't leave any residue. It's pure. You see, there's nothing mixed in. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's a call for us to put God first in our lives and to not mix it up. Many people in the world today love God, but He isn't first. They love Him when it's convenient. They love Him when it's half time. They love Him after they get the grass mowed and the house painted and the mortgage bills paid. They have God on their list of things they love, but it's in the things. Some people love the creation more than the Creator. God's on the list of the things they love when God should be that which we love the most. God should be the rock, the center. I told you this was the hardest one. Pure and undefiled that our love for God might be. Realizing we need a Savior, a Redeemer, realizing that we are imperfect and needing in mercy, but that means that our love for God should spring out of those things and that God should be the thing we love most. Got my grandkids here this morning. I love these kids. I love them. Love them to death. Sometimes really like to love them to death. I got my stepson here. Garrett, I love him. Got my wonderful, beautiful little wife here this morning. I love you. But sorry, you're not the top of my list. You see, I figured out a long time ago that I'll never make these people happy. None of them. I figured out a long time ago that I had to love God first, obey God, follow God, listen to God, and let God worry about making them happy. But I figure if I'm faithful to Him, He's got the rest of it covered. Because God has to be first. And I'm going to do my best to follow God. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to seek it out. I'm going to seek His Word. And if I'll do that, God says, seek me first, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know, to be honest, that it's pure of heart for me. You know, I've still got my flesh on. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I still struggle. Remember the message, to struggle within. But he has to be first. He has to be top shelf. I have to give him to God. And I give them to God. And because I can do that, I can love them freely. And you know what I try to teach them to do? The same. Don't try to please me. Please God. Don't try to please your neighbor. Don't try to please your boss. Please God. Put Him first. Put Him first. The pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You see, what happens when we do that is God is our Lord, He is our Savior through Christ. What happens when we do that is we begin to get new eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to love. We begin to see God at work around us and in the lives of other people. We see God at work sometimes through the tragedies and the brokenness around us, to pull people together, to cause us to pray for each other. We see God using the tragedies around us to start ministries and ministry opportunities. We see God at work around us when He's above the concerns that are around us. Because God's still on the throne. He's still working today. And it lets us see, and we will see God at work. And believe me, you might be surprised where you see Him working. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the compromisers. But I'm talking about the peacemakers. I'm talking about those who actively seek to serve God with all of the things that have come before. Not compromising it, not waffling it down. Sometimes you got to stand up for something to bring peace. Sometimes we have to cry out for justice and mercy. Sometimes we can't be pacifists and be peacemakers. We've learned that there are bad things in the world, and somebody has to do a Gandalf stand and say, "You shall go no farther." Folks, if good does nothing, evil will triumph. The peacemakers are those who are willing to get their hands dirty, to get involved in the lives of people despite what they would want or their agendas. But seeking God's will, you got to get here through the other ones. But the peacemaker is that one who is interested in unity, bringing people together, that we would be the church that started out in the upper room where they were all in one accord. Unity, unified, of the same purpose, of the same mind. What should that be? The mind of Christ. To love Christ with all our heart, to serve Christ, and to love one another. You know, I wrote on a chart up here one Sunday, the simple things. We should go back to the basics, maybe. Sometimes I think we made it too complicated. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. I believe if you do number 9, you'll find out about verse 9, you'll find out about verse 10, number 8. If you stand up for things, if you stand up for these things, I'm going to bet you take some punches for that. And it is, blessed are those who are persecuted for doing the right thing, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think the Apostle Paul could show us this. I think Paul writes a letter to the church at Philippi, and he writes it chained to a Roman guard. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning in the book study. And he says, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Have you thought about what that Apostle Paul looked like? Beaten, shipwrecked, abandoned. Can you imagine the scars he carried? And yet he could say, rejoice. The persecution he faced, telling people about Jesus, you know, telling them about the good news, telling them about the hope that is in Christ Jesus. How many of us have learned that sometimes doing the right thing comes at a cost? It cost Jesus his very life. And the final one is, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. That's a key word here. On my account. And the Apostle Paul would agree, rejoice. Rejoice. For your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Church, I can't tell you that doing the right thing comes without a cost. I can't tell you that being a Christian and following Jesus, putting God first, is a free trip. We're going to come to a table that exemplifies that very thing. But this I can tell you, the rewards far outweigh the cost. This I can tell you, that it brings a peace that surpasses all understanding when it's right with God, when it's right with the Word of God, when it's right with the Spirit of God. The bees, they all said blessed, didn't they? They didn't say after that it was going to be fun. It bothers me today when I hear a church, a pastor that proclaims what I call the fame and fortune message, that if things aren't right in your life, you need to give more and praise more. I've learned that that doesn't say much to the person who's in a wheelchair. It sounds to me like an old Pharisaic tradition, that if you're sick, it's because you sinned. Maybe you're sick so that they can help you and be in ministry with you. Maybe it's an opportunity. So be careful. I can't tell you that it's all a bed of roses. Maybe I can, because roses have thorns, right? It comes with both. The Catholic Church believes in a place called purgatory. That place that isn't heaven, it isn't hell, you kind of go hang out. That's simplifying it. Maybe I miss it. But I believe that place is now. This is neither heaven nor hell. It's that place that's between, isn't it? But this is an opportunity for us to love one another, love God, and share that with one another. It's a time for us to look at the bees and to be and to be. And to be. Amen. Come before God as we prepare to come to the table. Our gracious and loving God, may we be. May we not just be in attendance, but may we be involved. May we not just be, but may we truly be alive in you. May we be pure of heart. May we be poor of spirit. May we love righteousness and do mercy. May we be willing to stand in the gap and say no more. May we be promoters of justice, not vengeance, not prejudice. May we be of gentleness of heart and life, to love as you have loved us. May you hear our hearts and prayers as we prepare to come before your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeing you as a precious jewel, for to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus,
may the grace and peace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. May His Spirit fill you, empower you, and strengthen you. May you go forth to serve, to love, and to know grace and mercy. And now may truly the Spirit of God go with you, lead you, guide you, and direct you. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.